This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchos Shabbos, Chapter 23. This chapter contains 28 halachas. In this chapter, we continue our discussion of activities which are not melachas, neither 39 principal melachas nor their derivatives, but are forbidden by rabbinical decree because they are similar to a melacha or they might lead to a melacha. Halacha Aleph, ha'oisa nekev, shewasi lahachnis alahoitzi, one who makes a hole in some structure for the purpose of putting things in and taking things out, kigoyin nekev shebelul hatarnegoilim, for example, a hole that's drilled into the side of a chicken coop, shehuasi lahachnis oira, which is made to admit light into the chicken coop, ulahoitzi hahevel, and to let the hot air and steam out so that the chickens will not suffocate, harei zechayiv mishumake bepatish, since this is the final thing that is done in making the chicken coop, he is punished for banging with the hammer, which we discussed as a malocha in chapter 10. Lefichach, and therefore gozru al kol nekev. Since making a hole that's made to let things in and out is a malocha, by rabbinical decree they have forbid making any kind of hole, afilu haya osi lahoitzi bilvad, even if the hole was made only for taking things out, or to put things in, because if he could make such a hole, he might come to make a hole on which he would be guilty. And for this reason, it's forbidden to make a new hole in a barrel to take the wine out, nor is it permissible in a new hole to add to the diameter of the hole. Aval peischem nekev yoshan, but if there's an old hole that had been stopped up, we can open it. V'hu shelo yia nekev lamata min hashmarim, but only if the hole is not below the level of the lees, the residue that's at the bottom of the barrel, because if the hole is this low, shem hoya lamata min hashmarim, if the hole was below that level, hareza osui lechazek, v'osu leposchoi, then since there's the pressure of the entire height of the wine above that hole was stopped up very hard, and therefore removing the stopping of that hole and reopening it is like making a new hole, and therefore it's forbidden to open it. Halacha beis, noikvim megupa shel chavis lahoitzi mimeno yayin, the stopper that's put into the barrel, one may make a hole in the stopper in order to take wine out, but only if he makes the hole from above, aval mitzida, but to make a hole in the side, osir is forbidden, because now a hole in the side will admit the wine and let the wine pour out from the hole, and this is like making a new utensil, and even if the wine is above the hole, he can tip the barrel over and the wine will pour out in a stream from there, and so he has fashioned a new utensil. If one has a barrel full of pressed figs, he can break open the barrel in order to take out figs to eat. So long as it is not his intention, if he has to break it in a random fashion and not intend to fashion a new utensil out of it as he breaks it. Or maybe Yodim Chovish Shal Yayin, one can bring a barrel full of wine, or Matiz Esreisha Besayif, and knock off the top with a knife or a sword, Lifnei Ha'archim, if he does it in front of guests who see him do so, and he need not worry that he's fashioning a new utensil, a new container thereby, because before the barrel was made with a top, and now he has an open container, because lopping off the whole top in front of guests, it was not done with the intention of making a barrel that's open. His intention in lopping off the whole top was to show the guests how generous he is, that he's preparing an entire barrel for them by lopping off the top so that he cannot close it afterwards. Halacha Gimel, just as we said in the first halacha that it's forbidden to open any hole in something, so also it's forbidden to stop up any hole And therefore it's forbidden to stop up the hole in a barrel, even using some material that does not squeeze together and therefore will not absorb a liquid and that he can squeeze out. For example, if he stops it up with a splinter of wood or with a small pebble, however, if he puts in some food in order to hide it there, in order to put the food away there in the hole of the barrel, and when he puts the food in there, the hole ends up automatically being stopped up, mutar, it's permitted to do that, and it's permitted to do this as a subterfuge, that is, even though his intention is to stop up the hole and not to put the food away there, nevertheless it's permitted. Any activity which is the final act in making something, one is punished, as we learned in chapter 10, he is guilty for beating with the hammer. And for this reason, one who scrapes something, even a small amount, or one who puts the finishing touch that finishes a utensil using any kind of tool or any activity that finishes it, chayev is punished because he is guilty of beating with the hammer, and therefore also lahashmiya koil shashir b'shabbos, and therefore by rabbinical decree it's forbidden to make any sound of music on Shabbos, bein b'klei shir, regardless of whether he does it with some musical instrument, such as harps or fiddles, bein bishar dvarim, or other musical instruments, afilu lahakis be'etzba lakarka, and even to bang with his finger on the ground, or yal haluach, or on some board, or achas keneged achas, or to strike one finger against another, kederech ha-meshoyerim, as musicians do, or lakaskis es ho-egis latinik, or to rattle a nut for a child, or lasachik loy bezug, or to play with a bell for a child, kedei sheyishtek, not to make music, but just to make a sound so that the child will be quiet and stop crying. All these and any similar thing that makes a noise is forbidden. It's forbidden by rabbinical decree because we're afraid that if he can make noise, he will repair or finish or fix a musical instrument. Halacha hei, ein mesapkin, it's forbidden to beat on any percussion instrument, v'loy meraktin, nor may one jump and stamp his feet, v'ein metapkin, and one may not clap his hands b'Shabbos, on Shabbos gzeira. This is also a rabbinical decree, shami yusakin kleishir, that he might, if he does this, repair some musical instrument, but to clap with the back of his hand, muta, that's permitted. Another prohibition, because of the malocha of banging with the hammer, that is finishing something, it's forbidden to swim in the water by rabbinical decrees. Gzeira, it's a decree, shama yisakin, we are afraid that he will come to make chovis shal shayotim, some sort of a floating object that people who swim float with. However, if there's a small pond that's inside a courtyard, where we're not afraid that he's going to make some sort of thing there because he doesn't need something to help him float, mutalish loshet b'secha, he's permitted to swim in such a pond. She'eni bolas is chovish shel shayotim, because since it's only a small pond, he's not going to make some floating instrument. V'hu she'yeh lo sofa mukefes, but that's only if the pond or the pool that he has in his courtyard has a border around it, shelo yokem mimena hamayim, so that the water does not splash out of it, kedei sheyeh heker vehefresh beino vein hayom, so that he can immediately recognize the difference between this and a natural body of water such as the sea, and he will not come to swim in the sea. Halacha vav, ein koitchem shoferes shalkone, if neishahu kemesakin kli, it's forbidden to take a hollow reed and cut it into pieces so that he can use it as a straw or a siphon to remove wine from a barrel, because he is fashioning a new utensil. If it was already cut up, even though it's not yet ready for use, he can now put it into the hole in a barrel on Shabbos, to take wine out of the barrel, and we are not worried that since this thing is not fully finished and ready to use, that he will finish it. He's permitted to use it as it is. It's forbidden to take myrtle leaves or some similar thing and stick it into the hole in a barrel, kadeshia kalech es hayayin, so that the wine will drip down from there and drip down close to the barrel, and the pressure will not drive the wine far away from the barrel. Bibnei shukoisa marziv b'shabbos, because this is similar to fashioning a faucet to the barrel on Shabbos. Ve'en shoivri mesacheres, one may not break a piece of pottery, vein kleremes on the yard, and one may not tear a piece of paper to use to make a cover out of these, mipnei shukim esakin keli, because it's like making a new utensil. Halacha zayin, zmoira sheikshura betofiach. A piece of branch from a grapevine, which is tied together to a small pail, memalim ba b'Shabbos, one can draw water out of the well with this on Shabbos. Vim ein akshura, but if it's not tied, ein memalim ba, you cannot draw water with such a thing. Gzeira shema yikte moiso v'yiskoeho. If it's attached to the pail only because the branch is crooked and it's hooked onto the pail, he may not dip it in and pick up some water with that, because we're afraid that he will stick it into the pail and make a new utensil out of that. Also, lochiv klei kesef begreisikin, it's forbidden to scrape silver utensils with greisikin. This is a kind of a rough, coarse earth that silversmiths use for polishing silver. Mipnei shehum melabnon, because he is cleaning it and polish it, kederech shehum ninoisim, in the same fashion that the professional silversmiths do it. Venimtza kemesakin kli vegoimer melachtei b'shabbos, and this looks like fixing a utensil and doing the final a piece of work on it on Shabbos. Avol choyfef. However, he can rub it and polish it with ordinary sand or a kind of a chemical earth that is used for polishing, because this is not the way the professionals do it. And so also other kinds of utensils can be polished with other things, with any material. It's forbidden to rinse or to wash bowls and pots or frying pans and similar things, because since he washes it, it's like putting the finishing touches on a new utensil. Elim kein hadichem lechol behem suda acheres boise Shabbos. It's permitted, however, only if he's washing them in order to eat another meal on it, out of them on this Shabbos. So then it's obvious that this is an old utensil that's being used a second time on Shabbos. But if he's not going to use it again on Shabbos, he's preparing it for the weekday, it's forbidden. Avol kleishus hiyo, but cups that are made for drinking, kigoin koisis, like cups, vekitoinis, and small jars or bottles, muta lahadicha becholeis, he can wash them at any time, even late in the day when he doesn't plan another meal on Shabbos, shein kva lishasiyah, because drinking does not have any set times like a meal, and therefore even if it's late in the day, he might still drink on Shabbos. Ve'ein matzim es hamitas b'Shabbos, it's forbidden to spread out the sheet on the beds on Shabbos, kedei lishen arleim l'mitzoi Shabbos, for the purpose of sleeping on these beds after Shabbos. Aval matzim mileili Shabbos l'Shabbos, but after sleeping Shabbos at night, he can remake the bed and spread a sheet on it to sleep on it on Shabbos day. Halacha ches, also lahad bil kelim tmeim b'Shabbos, it's forbidden to take utensils that have become tomei, that have become ritually unclean, and immerse them in the mikvan Shabbos, v'tnei shokum esakin keli, because that's like finishing a new utensil, since before it could not be used for purposes that it now can be used. Aval odom tomei mutalit boil, but a person who is tomei may immerse himself in the mikvan Shabbos, v'tnei shenira kemekar, because the act of immersion does not show obviously that he is making himself fit for something that he was not fit for. It appears that he may just be immersing himself to cool himself off. Ve'ein mazin olav b'Shabbos. However, it's forbidden to sprinkle a person on Shabbos with the water of the red cow, as we learn in Hilchas Parah Aduma, in order to purify him. Hamat bil kelim b'Shabbos b'shoigig. One who forgot that it was Shabbos or that it was forbidden, and he did immerse utensils on Shabbos in the mikveh unknowingly, yishtamish b'hem, he may use them b'meizit. However, if he did it willfully, knowing that it was forbidden, lo yishtamish b'hem ad l'meitzoy Shabbos, he should not use these utensils now until after Shabbos. Umuta lahat bilas hamayim hatmeim b'Shabbos. It's permitted to take water that is ritually unclean and to immerse it in a mikveh in order to make it clean on Shabbos. The water of the mikveh is too dirty to drink, but if he takes the container of water that's drinkable but ritually unclean, he may immerse it in the mikveh in such a way that the waters do not mix but are yet touching each other, and the water that was in the container now becomes ritually clean. It is purified. Ketzad yasa, how does he do this? Noisnam beklisha eini mekabel tuma. He puts the water that he wants to purify into a container that does not receive tuma, kegoin klei avonim, such as a stone container, or matbil hakelim b'mikveh, and he takes the utensil and immerses it in the mikveh, acheyala mea mikveh aleihem, until the water of the mikveh covers it up above. But since the container is full, the water of the mikveh will not actually go into the container. V'yitaru, but since the water in the container is touching the water of the mikveh, the water becomes purified. Halochetes, ein magbiim trumas umaisus b'Shabbos, one may not remove truma and meiser from food on Shabbos, because this appears like fixing up something that required fixing before, that was not ready for use, since it was not edible before. It's forbidden to eat it before the truma and meiser is removed, and now he has made it so that it's permitted to eat it. Halacha yud ma'abed me'avis malacha, who tanning and processing leather. Meyavis Malachas, who we learned in chapter 11 that this is one of the principal forms of Malacha, v'hamerakich oye b'shemen, one who softens leather or a hide by rubbing it with oil, kederach shohab donim oisim, in the same fashion that leather tanners do it, hareza ma'abid, this is part of the tanning process, v'chayev, and he is guilty of tanning, of processing leather, lefichach, and therefore, by rabbinical decree, lo yosach odam ragli b'shemen v'hi b'teich haminol, a person may not rub oil into his foot while his foot is in his shoe, oy b'teich sandal, or while it's in his boot, hachadoshim, if they're new shoes or boots, because he might get oil onto the shoe or boot and rub it in. Avosachu es ragli b'shemen, but he can rub the oil on his bare foot. Veloivish minolei sandoli, and then put the boot or the shoe on. Afal pishem chadoshim, even if they're new. Vesach kol gufei shemen, and he's also allowed to rub oil into his whole body. Umis agil al gabi katablaya chadosha, and then roll around on a new leather mat. Ve'enei choishish, and he does not have to worry that he's rubbing some oil on the mat, because there's not sufficient oil here to do anything to the mat. When does this rule apply? When there was indeed only a little bit of oil on him, so that it only makes the leather slightly slippery. But if he has on his skin a great deal of oil, so that it will soften the leather when he rolls around on it, also then it's forbidden with Neshu Kamabde, because this is like processing leather. And all of these prohibitions apply only to new leather appliances. Avol b'yishanim, but if they're old, they're used already, mutar, then it's permitted. Halacha yud, ha-memareach retia b'shabbos, one who rubs and softens an ointment on Shabbos, chayev mishom meichik esoyer, he is punished for smoothing leather. This is a derivative of smoothing leather, as we learned also in chapter 11. Lefichach, and therefore, ein seismim nekev b'shaiv, it's forbidden to stop up a hole with wax, v'chayetziboy, or some similar substance, shama yimareach, because he may rub it and soften it in order to get it into the hole. V'afilu b'shemen ein seismim zanekev, and even with congealed oil, it's forbidden to stop up a hole. Gzeira mishum shaiva, because if he will do that, he may end up doing it with wax also. Halacha yudbeis, koisev me'avis malachis. Again, in chapter 11, we learned that writing is one of the principal forms of malacha. Lefichoch, and therefore also likhil bapuch, v'chayetzibay b'shabbos, by rabbinical decree, it's forbidden to color one's eyes with some sort of a blue coloring agent, or some similar makeup on Shabbos, mipnei shukei koisev, because this looks like writing. V'also lilvois or lahalvois, it's also forbidden by rabbinical decree to lend money or to borrow money. Because we're afraid that he may come to write, since the loan is usually written down, or we may write a promissory note. Similarly, it's forbidden to sell any merchandise, to buy merchandise or to sell it, or to rent merchandise from someone or to rent it out to someone. Gzeira shema yichtev. All of these are by rabbinical decree because we are afraid that he'll write down the transaction. Lo yiske rodem peilim b'shabbos. Also, a person may not hire workers on Shabbos, even to do work after Shabbos. Velo yomer lachaveri liskele peilim. Nor can he tell his fellow to hire workers for him, because this might be written down. But to borrow or to lend things which will be returned by themselves, mutar, it's permitted, because since it's only for a short time and the same thing that he lent will be returned, we're not afraid that he'll write it down. A person may borrow from his friend pitchers of wine or pitchers of oil, even though he's not going to return the same wine or oil, he's going to return different wine or oil, but since it's for a short time, he's not going to write it down. However, he may not use the term halva. The Hebrew term halva refers to lending money, and he may not use that term. Halacha yud gimel, echot hameicher bepeh oy bemesira oser. It's forbidden any kind of sale, regardless of whether he agrees verbally to the transaction or he actually gives the merchandise over to the buyer. It's forbidden. It's forbidden to weigh out merchandise, either with a scale, or without a scale, just to weigh it in his hand. It's forbidden, because he might write down the quantity, and just as it's forbidden to weigh things, it's forbidden to count merchandise, or to measure its volume, either with a measuring utensil, or to measure it in his hand, or to measure the length with a rope, all is forbidden. Halacha yudalet, ein donim b'shabbos, it's forbidden to sit in judgment on Shabbos, because at the end of the case, the final judgment decree is written down. Veloy choiltsim, it's veloy meyabmin, it's forbidden to make chalitza or yibum, which we will learn the details about in Hilchus Yibum v'chalitza, because all these things involve writing documents. Veloy mekachim, and it's forbidden to betroth the woman, gzeira shemarichtoy, because in all these cases we are afraid he will write. Ve'ein magdishin veloy machrimin. All these are forms of consecrating property or pledging property or sums of money to the Beis HaMikdash. It's forbidden to do this because this is similar to buying and selling, even though in this case he does not write. It's forbidden to remove truma and meiser from food. We already learned this. For one reason is because it looks like It is similar to consecrating something, because the produce that he took off to make truma, he has consecrated it as truma, and it's forbidden to consecrate on Shabbos because he might write. V'oid, and furthermore, another reason which we have already learned, because it's like he's fixing the food on Shabbos and making it fit for something that it was not fit for before. It's also forbidden to tithe animals, to take off one-tenth of the animals to offer as a sacrifice, because this is usually done by counting off the animals and marking every tenth one with a red dye, and we're afraid he will mark it with a red dye. However, if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, one can consecrate a lamb or a goat as his Pesach sacrifice, even though it's Shabbos v'chagigose b'yom tiv, and on Yom Tiv he may consecrate an animal to offer as the festival sacrifice, shezu mitzvah sayoyim hi, because the sacrifice is going to be done on this day, the mitzvah falls on this day. V'chashem she'em magdishim, kachin mekachem mechatas, and just as it's forbidden to consecrate property, so it's forbidden to consecrate the water, water with a ashes of a red cow in order to make it fit for use. Halacha tezvav hamagbia trumos umaisus b'shabbos. One who did remove truma and maisa on Shabbos or on Yom Tiv b'shegig unwillingly, that is, he did not know that it was forbidden, or he did not know it was Shabbos, yoichel mimasha hiskin, he is permitted to eat the food that has been prepared this way, because in fact the truma has been removed. Bemezid, but if he did it willfully, lo yechal ad mitzoy Shabbos, he cannot eat the food until after Shabbos. Uvenkach ubenkach tikin es aperis, but in either case the food is ready to eat, and even if he did it willfully, he can eat the food after Shabbos. He does not have to remove the truma and maaser a second time. Vechein hamagdishei hamarich oy hamachrim b'Shabbos, similarly, one who consecrates or makes pledges of property or money on Shabbos, bein b'shegig bein b'mezid, regardless of whether he did it unknowingly or willfully, masha osui osui, his act is valid, v'ein tzarech leima b'yom tiv, needless to say that it's valid on Yom Tiv, and what he has consecrated has become holy. V'chein hamakne l'chaveri b'shabbos kone, and similarly, one who sells something to his fellow man on Shabbos, his fellow man has acquired ownership. Ma'asrim es ha-demai bein ha-shmoshes, demai is food that was purchased from a Am Ha'aretz, whom we suspect may not be careful with Meiser, and by rabbinical decree, the Meiser must be removed a second time, because we suspect, we have a doubt, maybe Meiser was never taken, even though the seller tells him that he did take the Meiser, and since it's only a case of a doubt, one can remove the Meiser from Demai, Beinash Moshes, when it's late Friday afternoon at twilight, when we're in doubt as to whether it's Shabbos yet. This is permitted because we have two doubts here. First of all, the Meiser that he's taking off may not really be Meiser, because it's possible that the seller had himself taken off the Meiser. And secondly, even if we say that his Meiser is a Meiser because the seller didn't do it, but it may be that it's not yet Shabbos, since it's only the twilight period. Avaloyes Havadai, but something that definitely needs the removal of Meiser, he may not do it even at twilight, because now he has only a single doubt. Halacha tezayin, misha kara shem letrumas meiser shel demai, oy lemeiser oni shel vadai. One who has declared that the trumas meiser, a certain truma that's removed from meiser, shall demai, that was removed only because of a rabbinical decree, because we are in doubt as to whether the seller had already done so. So he did not actually remove it, but he declared that a certain portion will be trumas meiser, and he identified that portion, oyla meiser oni shel vadai, was something that definitely needs removal of the miser, and this is the miser that is given to the poor. He declared which part would be Truma or Maaser Ani and identified that part, but he did not physically separate it. Lo Yitlin b'Shabbos, he cannot physically separate it on Shabbos. Afal pi sheyichid mekoyim b'koyim d'mashabbos, even though he identified the exact spot where the Trumas Maaser or the Maaser Ani lies, v'harehim yiduim, and they are definite parts of the food, umunachim b'tzad ha-peiris, and they are there at a definite side of the rest of the produce, he cannot remove it. However, if he needs it for today's consumption, because he has a kohen who may eat Trumas Maaser, or he has a poor man who may eat Maaser Ani, and they are accustomed to come and eat in his home, they may come and eat it, even though they are physically separating it when they take it to eat. The Uvilvad However, he must inform the Kohen, Shezu Shani Malchilcha, this food that I am feeding you, Trumas Maaser, this is Trumas Maaser, so that he will not mislead him into thinking that he's eating as his guest. He will know that he's eating Trumas Maaser, V'yodia La'oni, and he must inform the poor man, Shezu Shani Malchilcha, this food that I am feeding you, Maaser Oni, this is Maaser Oni, so that the poor man will know that he's eating something that is coming to him, and that he's not eating from the generosity of the host. Halacha Yud Zayin, also lahofis, it's forbidden to cast lots, ulasachik bekuvia, or to gamble with various gambling implements, b'shabbos, on Shabbos, v'tei shehu kemekach u'memkar, because since the winnings will be transferred from the loser to the winner, it's like buying and selling, which is forbidden. U'mefis odam imbonavim b'nei beisai almona gedela, however, a head of a household may cast lots for his children or other members of his household to see who gets monik deila keneged monik tana, who gets a bigger portion of food and who will get a smaller portion, v'pnei she'ein makpidim, because this is only a game and nobody is really so particular about who wins and loses that they'll come to write anything down. Halachi yudkas, also lechashiv cheshbonis shehu tzarich lahem b'shabbos, it's forbidden for one to make calculations that he needs on Shabbos, bein she'ova, he's not allowed to make such calculations on Shabbos, bein she'ova, bein she'osid. If he needs the results of the calculations, regardless of whether it's something that happened that he's counting up and figuring, or something that's going to happen, because since he needs these results, we're afraid that he'll write them down. If he calculates something of which he has no actual need of the results, he's only passing the time, he may calculate this in his head. For example, how many bushels of grain that we have on a certain year in the past, that makes no difference now. He's only calculating it to occupy his brain. Kama dinrim hoitzi b'chasnas benoi, how much money, how many dinrim did he spend for his son's wedding? V'chayetzi bo'elu, or some similar calculation. Shein b'chlal sicha b'teila, because this is just irrelevant chatter. Shein b'mtzeidach klal, it has no practical use, and therefore he is not going to write it down. Hamachashi voisa b'Shabbos kemachashi b'choil. Thinking about such things on Shabbos is the same as thinking about it on a weekday. That is, it is permitted, but since it's of no relevance to anything, it is discouraged. Halacha yutes. Also, likrois b'shtori hedyotis b'Shabbos. One may not read any documents or papers that are of common use, that are not consecrated, on Shabbos, so that he will not do something that he habitually does on a weekday, and he might erase something if he finds a mistake. If someone has guests and he has some delicacy to feed them, he can count the number of guests and the number of delicacies verbally, to see that he has enough, but he cannot read off the names of the guests and the numbers of the dishes from some place where it's written, so that he will not read unconsecrated papers on Shabbos. And therefore, if the names were engraved on a tablet or on the wall, he can read them, because this, it will not be confused with some legal document. document that one might write and erase with. The also likris b'ksava mahalich tachas atzura. It's forbidden to read writing that's a legend written under some picture, v'tachas hadyukni, or under a portrait for Shabbos. The name of the person whose portrait this is written there. He may not read it on Shabbos. Af likris b'ksuvim b'Shabbos, or even to read the holy scriptures on Shabbos, b'Shas Beis HaMidrash, when in the study house they are giving a lecture and people are learning Torah. Also, it's forbidden, even though this is also Torah, Gzeira Mishon Bitl Beis HaMidrash, because they were accustomed to have a set time to learn in the Beis HaMidrash on Shabbos, and if one studies this at home, he will not come to the Beis HaMidrash to study. Shelo Yia Kol Echad Yeshe Beveisi V'Kireya, because they were afraid that if he'll do this, everyone will sit home, and the Kodei, and everyone will sit in his home and read whatever Torah he wants, V'imon and Beis HaMedrash, and he will not come to the set time in the Beis HaMedrash. Halach Echof, Noflad Leika Bechotzer, if a fire breaks out in a courtyard where carrying is permitted, B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, Einei Matzel Kol Ma Sheyesh Bechotzer Lechotzer Acheres Shaboisei Movi, he cannot take and save whatever he has there in the courtyard and move it into another courtyard that's in the same alleyway. Afal pisha eruvu, even though there is an eruv there and carrying is permitted, gzeira shama yichabad leika kedei sheyatzel, because if he's engaged in saving his property, we're afraid that he will come to put out the fire in order to save his property. Because a person is excited when he has to save his property, lefichach, and therefore gozru, they also decreed shalayatzil ala mozin shahu tzayrich loy loyse Shabbos. He can only save food that he needs for that Shabbos. V'chelim tzayrich leshtamish ben v'Shabbos, and the utensils that he needs to use on that Shabbos. U'bgodim sheyochelilbeish, and clothes that he can wear on Shabbos. Shenimtza misyoish min akel. So if he's only saving these things, he forgets about all the other things. V'ene boiler day kibui, and he will not come to put the fire out. V'im loy ervu. If they did not make an Eruv, and so carrying here is forbidden, he cannot save even food or utensils that he needs on Shabbos. What kind of food can he save? If the fire broke out on Friday night, he needs three meals. He can save food for three meals. Food that's edible by people, he can save for the number of people he has. Food that's edible by animals, he can save as much as he needs for his animals. Nafla b'shachris, if the fire broke out in the morning, matzilim mozen shtei sudas, he can save food for two meals. B'mincha, if it's in the afternoon, matzilim mozen sudachos, he can save food for one meal. B'haloch echov beiz, b'med varim amurim, when does this law apply that he can only save this amount? B'matzil b'chelim harbe, if he's taking it out in several utensils, ashoyim malikli u'maitziu mayra, or he put it all into one utensil, he took it out and poured it out, v'choyzu mali o'yisishenis, and he took that utensil in and filled it up a second time. Hushen matzil ela mashu tzarech lo, then he can only then he can save only what he needs. But if he carried out all at one time one large container, even though he has in it enough food for many meals, mutar, it's permitted to carry this. Haloch chav gimel, ketzad, for example, matzil sal moli kikris, he can save a huge basket full of loaves of bread, afal pishayish bekamasudas, even though there's enough for many meals, the eagle shall dvela, and a whole wheel of pressed figs, even though it's more than he needs, v'chovish shal yayin, or a whole barrel of wine, v'chein impirish talisay, and so also if he spreads out his talis, v'chovitz bakol mashe yochel ohitzi, and he collects in it everything that he can carry, v'tziya malaya bevasachas, and he carries it out all full, at one time, mutar, it's permitted. Haloch chav dalet, v'oymer lacheirim, he can call to others and announce to them, come and save it for yourselves. And everyone saves as much food as he can use. Or everyone saves a large container full of even many things. However, since they saved it for themselves, it now belongs to the person who saved it. And one who saved the food does not want to receive it, but gives it back to the original owner. He can take from the owner a payment for the trouble he went to, he can take it after Shabbos. Vein zeschar Shabbos, and this is not considered payment for what was done in Shabbos. Shaharei ain't shem malacha v'lo yisa, because he didn't do anything that's technically forbidden. Shalitzi ala b'makim murav, because he carried it out in a place where there's an eruv and it's permitted to carry there. Halacha chof hei, hitzel pas nekiya. If he's already saved white bread, cannot go back and save dark bread, because he's not going to eat dark bread when he has white bread. However, if he already saved dark bread, he can go back and save white bread, because he may say he still needs white bread to eat. If Yom Kippur falls on Friday at the time when the calendar permitted this, he can save on Yom Kippur what he needs for Shabbos also, for the next day. If Yom Kippur fell on Friday, but if Yom Kippur falls on Sunday and the fire is on Shabbos, he cannot save on Shabbos what he needs on Yom Kippur, that is for after Yom Kippur, and certainly he may not save what he needs for a Yom Tov that falls on Sunday, nor may he save on this Shabbos what he needs for next Shabbos. What he saves to wear clothing, a little bit, she puts on whatever he can wear, and he wraps around himself whatever he can wrap around himself with moitzi, and he carries it out. He says to others, come and save clothing for yourself. And everyone comes and wraps himself around and puts on this person's clothes, and he takes them out. And belongs to him just like food. Because this food, these clothing are considered now ownerless, and it belongs to the person who took it. It's permitted to save holy writings, that is, scrolls of the Torah, may be saved from the fire on Shabbos, that he has in the courtyard, to another courtyard in the same alleyway, even if there's no Eruv. Here they were lenient in the case of a Torah, so long as it's permitted to carry in that alleyway, it has three walls around it, and it has an upright at the fourth side, but it's only if it's an actual holy writing, it's written in the Hebrew alphabet, and in the Hebrew language. But if it was written in some other language, or with some other alphabet, they cannot save it, even if there was an Erev there. And on a weekday, also he may not read in them, since they were not written by Jews. He leaves them in a place where they will be destroyed. He does not destroy them deliberately, but he leaves them where they will eventually become destroyed by themselves. If they were written with some non-permanent ink or with a red dye, even though this is not a permanent writing, since they're written in Hebrew alphabet and Hebrew language, he can save him on Shabbos. The blank parchment of the scroll that's above the writing and below the writing, and the blank space between paragraphs, and the blank space between columns, and the blank at the beginning of the scroll and the end of the scroll, he may not save such blank parchment. A siddur that's written or other writings that were written as an amulet, even though they contain the letters of God's name, and they contain various writings that belong to Torah, he may not save them from the fire. A sefer Torah in which much has been erased or has become faded, but he can find in there 85 letters that are parts of whole words, and even if included in these words are the words at the end of Sedra Vayetza, Yigar Sa'adusa, which are Aramaic and not Hebrew, or if he has one paragraph that does not have 85 letters, but but it nevertheless has God's name in it. Kegoyin Vayhi ben Soyaharin, for example, the paragraph of Vayhi ben Soyaharin in Baha'al Yischa, Matzil Noisim Bipnei Hadleika, one can save them from the fire, Matzilim Tik HaSefer MaSefer, he can also save the container, the case of the scroll together with the scroll, the tik tefillin ima tefillin, and the case of the tefillin, the bag of the tefillin together with the tefillin, v'afal pishayesh b'seichem moyes, even though there are coins in there besides the tefillin or the sefer Torah. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 24.